How do we find shalom? How do we find peace at a time of no shalom, at a time when there is no peace? Today is a day where there's no shalom. There's no external shalom. This is the day that commemorates wars, pogroms, blood libels, murders. It's a day of no external shalom. It's a day of no internal shalom, as we remember the Beis Hamikdash being destroyed, the second Beis Hamikdash being destroyed because of a lack of peace internally. And it's also a day, halakhically, where there's no shalom. She'elat shalom, offering words of shalom to each other, is forbidden. And I wonder, why is that? Shouldn't we specifically engage in She'elat Shalom? Shouldn't we specifically engage in greeting each other on Tisha B'Av to fix the lack of Shalom, the lack of peace amongst our people that led to the destruction of the Mikdash and that still plagues us today? And I think that the answer is that Tisha B'Av is not about fixing. Yom Kippur is about fixing. We ask each other for forgiveness before Yom Kippur, so that on Yom Kippur we are in this state of shalom, a state of peace. On Yom Kippur we're like angels. We try to be like angels. On Yom Kippur we are our best selves. But Tisha B'Av is not about fixing. In a Sefer Alei Shur, Rav Volbi writes that Tisha B'Av is a day of Hakarat Harichuk, a day when we realize how far we have become distant from God, from each other, and from our idealized selves. Only after we spend the day processing the nature of this distance can we begin to think about how we can begin to return to God, how we can begin to return to each other, and how we can begin to return to ourselves. So how is a lack of She'elat Shalom on Tisha B'Av a manifestation of this distance? She'elat Shalom is both an action and an attitude. On one level, when I see you in the street or in shul and I greet you, I convey to you that you matter. I value you. On Tisha B'Av, we mourn the fact that so many people refuse to greet each other. They refuse to acknowledge each other. They refuse to tell the other person that you matter. The famous Gemara in Maseches Gittin introduces the Kamsa and Bar Kamsa story that we all know by saying, "A Kamsa u'Bar Kamsa Charev Yerushalayim." That Yerushalayim was destroyed because of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. Now I understand why Yerushalayim was destroyed, partially because of Bar Kamsa. After all, he's the one who told the Roman emperor that the Jews were rebelling against him. He's the one who secretly tampered with the emperor's offering so the Jews wouldn't be able to offer the sacrifice. He was partially responsible for the destruction. I can understand perhaps why the host who kicked Bar Kamsa out of the party is responsible partially for the destruction, because he publicly embarrassed Bar Kamsa. But what did Kamsa do? He was completely uninvolved in the story. And now the Maharal explains that the word Kamsa actually means division. And that Kamsa and Bar Kamsa represented two different cliques, two different social groups that hated each other and didn't want to associate with each other. The host and Kamsa were united, not based on mutual loves or ideals. The host and Kamsa were united by their hatred of Bar Kamsa and his clique. This was Jewish life shortly before the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash. People were united in the hatred of the other. No She'elat Shalom. I'm not even going to greet you on the street. And even more than that, if you walk into my party, I am going to throw you out, whatever the cost. Why? Because you don't matter. But the truth is that She'elat Shalom goes much deeper than that. We may think that we can fix the problem simply by our behavior, meaning I hate you and all that you stand for because of your religious views or political views or different views about COVID, but I will be polite. I will say hello and I will greet you in the street, but that's only She'elat Shalom in action. It's not She'elat Shalom in attitude. If we want to fix the distance created by a lack of She'elat Shalom, we need to fix our attitude. See, She'elat Shalom is more than simply a hello. Rav Yitzchak Arama writes that Shalom, peace, is not simply the absence of conflict. Shalom is the harmonious working together of distinct and individual parts in such a way to form a unified and integrated whole. Each individual was created in the image of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, of God, as a distinct entity. The Gemara in Brachos tells us, Ein datam domeh zelazeh ve'ein partzufeihem domim zelazeh. Our personalities are different just as our faces are different. I think differently than you. I have a different perspective than you. When we daven in our last bracha of Shemona Esrei for shalom, we pray that God coordinate all the different aspects of creation, strengths and weaknesses, virtues and failure together, so that the combination of all creations is greater than the sum of its parts. We pray for this harmony, but we also have the opportunity, and more than that, the responsibility to foster this harmony. And the way we do that is to realize that your perspective and your political views and your religious views, they're all a creation of God. The Gemara Maseches Tainis tells us a wild story of how the great Tana, Rabbi Elazar, was riding on the road and he came across a particularly ugly man who greeted him. He said, Shalom Alecha. And amazingly, Rabbi Elazar was so disturbed by the man's appearance that he said, Kama mechuar oso ish, how ugly are you? Shema kol b'nei ircha mechurin kamotcha, are all the people in your town as ugly as you? So the ugly man turns to the great Tana, Rabbi Elazar, and he says, Eni yodea, I don't know if everyone in my town is as ugly as I am. However, Ella, Leich ve'amor le'uman she'asa'uni kama mechur kliza she'asisa. Just go tell the artisan who made me how ugly is the vessel which you have made. So we hear the story, we're shocked that someone, let alone a great Tana, a great rabbi, would make such a comment about someone's appearance. After all, everyone was created by God. And God purposefully chose to create this person in this particular manner. But the truth is, same is, can be said by someone else's values and ideas. God created each one of us differently. I can completely and utterly disagree with you, but you still are part of the world of shalom that was created by God. When I greet you with shalom, I acknowledge that you are a piece of God's creation. You have value, you have self-worth, and I love you just as I love God. There was a hidden tzaddik named Rabbi Ehud Vartlesky who lived a number of years ago in Eretz Yisrael. He made a living working as a bookkeeper at a Yiddish-speaking school for girls. And he was a person who was constantly seeking out ways to help a fellow Jew in need. Now, he considered no act of kindness below his dignity. Several years ago, rumors spread that Rabbi Vartlesky had been seen on several occasions reading the newspaper entitled Haaretz. Haaretz, for those who don't know, it's a secular newspaper with a very anti-religious slant. Someone who knew Rabbi Vartlesky and that he spent all of his free time learning Torah doubted that the story could be true. And someone went to ask Rabbi Vartlesky himself, but the rabbi simply nodded, and he confirmed the truth of this rumor. I know, he explained, that the people who read Haaretz are generally not observant at all. It occurred to me that many of these people will not even have anybody to recite Kaddish for them with a minyan when they pass away. So every day, I read the death notices in Haaretz, and I mark down the people's names so I can recite Kaddish in their honor for 11 months. Tonight we reflect on how we have failed miserably to foster Sheilat Shalom in both action and attitude. And that sin, as we all only know too well, is not a historical sin only. It is a sin that is so pervasive today. We're about to recite Megillas Eicha. Eicha is the Sefer, is a work that highlights this Richuk, this distance between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're going to read the first parak in Eicha, which describes images that convey the situation in Yerushalayim soon after the Churban. We're going to read the second chapter in Eicha, which describe the actual events of the Churban. We're going to read the third chapter in Eicha, which is the acknowledgement of God's judgment. We're going to read the fourth chapter in Eicha, which focuses on the human suffering of destruction. And we're going to read the fifth chapter of Eicha about the memory of the Churban. We're going to focus on the prolonged reality of the exile. And we're going to end off with a prayer to return to the days of old. Eicha is a sefer that highlights Hakarat HaRichuk. We realize how distant we are from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And hopefully we can utilize this day as an opportunity to reflect on this Richuk, on the distance that we have created between us and God and between each other for our failure to appreciate the shalom in this world. That everyone, no matter how different, was created in the image of God. And maybe then, if we truly do that, we can turn this day from a day commemorating Sinat Chinam, hatred between Jews, to a day of strengthening Avat Chinam, our love for each other in both action and in attitude. We will continue with Eicha now.